Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
Amen. For those of you who don't know, that's my daughter, Bonnie. She's a middle child. Yeah. I'm proud of her. She is working at Toledo Rescue Mission, and she helps with the ladies that have children down there. And if you want to volunteer at night, evening, she'd be, just talk to her. And she will, you have to be a lady, guys. You can't go in there with all those ladies. But if you're a lady and you want to work, just see her, and she'll help you get connected there. Tim and Shirley Taylor. This is your last real Sunday here with us. They're moving to Georgia because of family. I thought we were family. So did the cronies. But we will take good care of them, and we will miss you. And you said you'll be watching on video. So anyway, you will get an unedited version because Pastor Marty and I don't know how to edit anyway. So we use Jackie for that. And I want to thank Pastor Marty for, wasn't that a wonderful series that he had the last 8 weeks? Amen. Amen. I enjoyed it. I learned a lot. It built me up in the Lord. It got me so excited. I can't wait to preach today. You know, and when you're looking for a subject for today, I mean, what's going to speak to us today? I found in the Bible, there's a city named Damascus. But I couldn't find a sermon on Damascus. I mean, it means bloody, you know. They make swords there and knives, I just couldn't get a sermon there. But I said that in the early service. My wife said, "You're not going to say that on the video, are you?" So those of you who are watching, this is the real stuff. Okay. You need to come and see us. But Marty, Anna, thank you so much. You did just a wonderful job. And we had a staff meeting this week, and I went home and I told Terry, I said, "That guy's really smart." I mean, we were talking. He's been around, and he's been teaching, and he's been communicating. And I've been locked in a box here at church for 37 years. And it's good to have some fresh blood and fresh minds and on what we're doing here and how we do it. And we were talking about junior church and things, and I mean, just for 20 minutes he explained how we can do it and how we can do it better and how we can do it with less people. And you know, it's just I was amazed. So anyway, I thank the Lord for him, and I thank the Lord that sent him here to be with us. Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. Now, you know, there's 1 and 2 Samuel, and some people say, why is there 1 and 2 Samuel? Why did they divide it? Because when the Septuagint group of men that were put together to translate the Hebrew into the Greek, they put it on scrolls, and the scrolls weren't long enough to put all of Samuel on it. So they divided it into two scrolls, and they made it 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. So when you read it, just kind of read it together. And back when I went to college and seminary, when Pastor Kay went, there was no debate at all about who wrote Samuel. Because Samuel said he did. And it said that in the Bible. But after that time, about in the 80s, that's when everything started to be questioned. And they started questioning whether Samuel wrote it or who wrote it. Well, Samuel couldn't have wrote it all because he died in like chapter 25, 27, something like that. So his scribes went on and wrote the rest of it. And since we believe the Bible, that wasn't in question when we were in school. But it did become in question in the late 70s and the early 80s, as many other things came into question. For instance, King David. We know that David was king of Israel. How do we know? We read it in the Bible. We read the Psalms that he wrote. We understood his thinking. We understood his heart, because there they were laid out before us. In the book of Samuel, tells about his kingdom and how he was anointed king when he was a little boy, and how that he killed Goliath, and how that he became king of Judah when he was 30 years old. And 37 years old, he united the kingdom of Israel, and how he was king for 40 years, and he died at 70 years old and turned it over to Solomon. We understood that. But in the 70s and 80s, we started reading that some historians started questioning the truth of that, because there's no other historical record except for the Bible about David. So if there's no other record, and we're not going to believe the record of the Bible, then maybe David was just a made-up figure in order to show us what kind of king ought to be. And a lot of people bought into that. The people that bought into it were the people that got away from the Bible. The people that bought into it were people who were taught or challenged on the things of the Bible. Now understand this, whenever Satan does anything, the first thing that he does is challenge God and his people. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Satan, Eve, what's going to happen if you eat of that tree? Well, God said we're going to die. You know what Satan said? You're surely not going to die. He challenged her. When Jesus was in the wilderness and he was going through his 40 days of fasting, Satan came to him and said, hey, you need bread in order to live. Jesus answered, man does not live by bread alone. One thing that I am so thankful for, I've never doubted God's word. For 37 years, we've dug a straight furrow here. The Bible takes precedent over what I think and what you think. If the Bible says it and the Bible's clear on it, I have no opinion. I submit to the Word. I may not like it. It might tell me that I can't tell a white lie, that it's just as bad as a black lie. God's not prejudiced. You don't care if it's white or black, it's still a lie. So it's wrong. So you can't justify it according to the Scripture. So here we have David now. Before he's king, even though he is anointed as a boy, comes in and taking some cheese and crackers and things down to his brothers who are in the army and saying, what are you guys hiding behind the rocks for? They said, because that guy, that big guy out there, he challenged us and said, I will fight anyone for the kingdom. So somebody has to fight him, or we lose. Challenging God and challenging God's people. But David, unlike most people, had surrendered his life unto God. I think being alone with the sheep out in the wilderness by himself for so many hours, looking into the heavens and seeing the moon and the stars and realizing that life is just here. That God said when he created life, he created it on the earth and he created it more abundantly. And David saw the snakes and the little bugs, and he saw the fish and the salt water and the fresh water, and he saw the birds in the air, and he saw the horses and the cows and the sheep and all the different, abundant life. Under the rock he saw the worms, and in the bushes he saw the snakes. I mean, abundant life that no man can explain. Now they're looking on Mars to see if they can find something down under the earth to say that there might have been life there. Don't bother me whether they claim they do or they don't. Bible says the Son is only begotten Son here for us. And we can become sons of God if we believe in Him. I've seen enough of God's power through my years of living that I understand that He is real and this book is real. And we can count on it and we can stand on it. We can live with it and we can die with it. The enemy always challenges you on the physical level because the enemy doesn't understand spirituality. He challenged David. He said, David, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut your head off and the birds are going to eat your flesh. That's a tough one. Satan's going to say, you're going to be without a job. You're going to lose your job. The boss is mad at you. You're not going to have a job tomorrow. You're going to lose your house. You're going to lose your car. You're going to lose your family. He's going to wipe out everything, he's going to tell you. He's going to tell you, you say, oh man, I got a cough. He said, no, you don't have a cough. Satan's going to say, you got cancer of the lungs. And if you cancer the lungs, then there's no way you can live through it because no one lives through it. Yes, they do. And I've seen healing. Satan attacks on the physical. He'll attack your family. He will attack your job. He'll attack you with anger, with doubt, with sickness. He'll attack your finances. He'll attack your kids. But it's always on the physical. And he'll try to get you to doubt. And how does he get you to doubt? By bringing something in front of you that you can't handle. And that everyone around you tells you you can't handle. And you know they're right. He's going to kill whoever comes out there. And even King Saul, who's the strongest guy we know, he won't fight him. Who's going to fight your battle? Your giant, the thing that you're facing. You know, when God saves us, He sets us free from the giants. We're free from sin and death and hell. We're free. We're free enough that if someone slaps you on the cheek physically, you can turn your cheek because you're not controlled by the physical, you're controlled by the spiritual. If someone asks for your coat, you will give them your shirt also. If someone asks you to go a mile, you'll carry their load 2 miles because it is not the physical that you are reacting to. It is in the spiritual that you're reacting, and you cannot do it unless you're spiritual. It's the only way you can do it. Selfishness, jealousy, envy, and strife are all things of the flesh, and the only way to overcome the flesh is by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing that David did when he came before Goliath was he made a declaration, I will fight him. Wow, David wanted to be a hero, didn't he? No. Did David think he could die? I don't think so, but I do think that everybody else did. What are we going to do after he kills David? That's pretty much what was said. Whenever you step out on faith, those who don't have faith will say, it can't be done because it can't be without the Lord Jesus Christ. It's bigger than that. Your sickness is bigger than that. Your heartache is bigger than that. Your marriage problem is bigger than that. Your children's problem is bigger than that. It takes God to intervene, and God can't intervene in order to give you the glory. David wasn't looking for glory. He was totally surrendered to the Lord. And if he lived or if he died, he belonged to God. So David declared to the giant who said,
come to me, David, I'm going to kill you. Isn't it something how the devil says, come to me with drugs, come to me with the alcohol, come to me with the swearing, come to me with the affairs, come to me. He's saying, come to me, knowing what else he says, and I will kill you. Sin, Satan came to steal and to kill and destroy, and Satan is calling everyone to come to him so that he can have his way with them. And you know what David said? He declared it. Sin, you're not going to get me. Goliath, you're not going to get me. You are the one that's going down. I am not going to yield to that temptation. I am not going to walk in that temptation. I am not going to fall for that temptation. And I know why I'm not, because I belong to an eternal God and I'm not part of this world anymore. You can clap if you want. Because it's just the truth. He declared it. Job 22, verse 28 says, you will declare a thing and it will be done. We're hesitant to speak up when God shows us something. When I came here 37 years ago, God showed me something. He showed me this church. Look around. This is the vision that God showed me. And we had this many in the early service today. God has also showed me that we're going to have the greatest move of the Spirit of God that we've ever seen as we start to open this church up. We have the leadership that we've never had before. We have people who are trained. We have people who have surrendered. We have people who are willing. And we have people, we have the finances to do it. Well, we don't. It's in your checkbooks, but it'll come in. We're going to show you how to do that. God always sends someone to do those things. I remember we didn't have much money and we were in this building and at the time, and we needed carpet in the lobby out there in the hallways. So we had a campaign. We decided we're going to raise money. Me and the council, we came up with this thing, and we're going to maybe even put a thermometer out there, and we're going to raise $15,000 to pay for that carpet and out there. Well, it went about 3 weeks, and Nick Miller, who is now being ready to pass into God's hands, a very quiet man, very reserved man, would call me up for lunch every once in a while, and we'd go out, and he'd want to know what he could do. And it was always done in secret. It was not done so he could get any glory. And he didn't get any glory, only with God. He said on the way out, he said, Pastor, how much you got in the fund for the carpet? I bowed my head and I said, $15. He said, I'll have my friend Otto come over and we'll have it put in. And that's how the carpet got out here. See, God knew. He had already tapped Nick before we had decided to do anything. That's how God works. Just as a side note, we got to have this roof put on over here. It's $10,000 in the next couple weeks, and we need a new heater and air conditioner on this side down there where the office is and the kitchen is, and that's $9,500. Just throwing that out there. Lord, forgive me. Mark 16:17. These signs will follow you. In my name you will cast out demons, speak in other languages, take up serpents, drink poison, and lay hands on the sick. He said, when you get away from yourself, trying to do it in your own self, trying to do it your way, and you yield to me, and you don't try to be the popular one, you're not doing it in order to build up your own status, when you surrender unto me, then I will protect you. You don't need to be afraid of the gossipers. You don't need to be afraid of those who might try to poison you. You don't need to be afraid of those I put in front of you. You're going to be able to speak to them. You're going to be able to heal the sick. You're going to see all of these things if you walk with me. That's why we can turn our cheek. That's why we can go the second mile. And that's why we can give our shirt as well as our coat. Because we're a spiritual person born again of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil, for thou art with me. David, by the way, in 1992, there was a stone found in Israel. Pastor Kay, you and I are out of school by then. We didn't study this. But on that, it dated back to 1000 B.C., and it said on it, the house of David. They did find a historical record. And in 2002, they were digging, and they found some stamps, like a rubber stamp, only there were stones that dated back to 1000 B.C., showing that there was a kingdom there in 1000 B.C., but the historians had said for about 15 years it wasn't there. Now you know what they found? They've dug down around the walls of Jerusalem, and they found 200 and some feet of a temple wall that Solomon built. So you can believe the world's flat if you want to, or you can believe the truth. You can believe that the Bible isn't true if you want to, just because someone challenges you, or you can believe the truth. I'll take the truth. David killed the giant. And the Bible says in Philippians 2:10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, there that is in heaven and on earth and those under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That means in heaven the saints, the angels, the elders, the prophets, the seraphims, the cherubims, and on earth it means the unbelievers and the Gentiles and all nations, and under the earth it means Satan himself and the demons. There's a world you cannot see. In it is air. In it is the Holy Spirit of God. And in order to see it, you need to reach beyond yourself by faith and see that Jesus rose from the dead. And when you realize that he rose from the dead and that he was God, he allows eternity to come into your heart. You can't believe Jesus was just a good man and get that. You can't believe that he was just a teacher and get that. You only get that through realizing and understanding that Jesus died on the cross and he rose from the dead. He was seen by over 500 people and he ascended into heaven. And he went to prepare a place for us. Somebody said, what's that place like? Well, it's got to be a lot like the Garden of Eden. He kind of made that for man. They had animals there, by you animal lovers. They had a lot of fruit trees and vegetables and no weeds and no bugs. It kind of seems like be a nice heaven to me. He didn't go to wait on it to evolve. I've never bought into, well, it doesn't matter whether God created the world in 6 days and rested the seventh, or if it evolved, it doesn't matter which way you believe it, as long as you believe in God. I said, I believe the Bible. The Bible says that in 6 days he created the world, and he said what he created in each day. To me, that's simple. I need a God that big to believe that my dad is living in heaven now that's been dead for 10 years. I need a God that big to believe that my brother is in heaven that's been gone for 24, 25 years. I need a God that big that when I'm laying on my deathbed that I know I'm going with him. I need a God that big.
But Satan always tries to just bring doubt. If he can bring doubt, he can shake your faith. And if you don't have faith, you won't do anything. And the churches will be built upon the foundations of the world rather than the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. David killed Goliath. And you know what God did? He made him popular. I don't think the popularity went to his head. Well, not right away. He had a few struggles, as everyone does. It's easy to take failure. It's very hard to take success. But David didn't say that I want to be a gospel singer so that I can stand up in front of crowds and my name will be on the billboards. David sang for the Lord because he loved God. David killed the giant because he loved God. So who killed the giant? God. Who gave him his talent? God. Who was with him as he was king for 40 years? God was. And David died at an old age, right? He was 70. At 71, that don't sound very old to me anymore. But I trust God with today, and I trust God with the day that I die. Not afraid. Not afraid of somebody talking bad about me behind my back. Haven't been afraid of that for years. Why? Because God has got a path for me, and he has got a path for you. And if you walk in that path and stay in that path, he will lift you up, and he will bless you. It's only when you listen to what the devil has to say, in the doubts that Satan puts in your mind and your heart about God, that you'll walk away. This church is going to go to 500. It may go more than that. But how do I know? I know our staff is totally surrendered. I know our teachers surrendered. I know those of you sitting here surrendered. You know what that means? You'll make an impression on your friends and your family. They'll want to come because they'll want the peace that passes all understanding that you have. They wanted to be around David because they wanted what David had. It can't be both ways. It's either surrender or failure. That's our choice. You know what the Bible says? In all things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Romans 8:37. 1 Corinthians 15:57. Thanks to be to God who gives us the victory through him who is Lord. God wants to give you a victory over whatever giant you're facing. God has the power to give you victory over whatever giant you're facing. All we need to do is submit to him. And the only thing will keep you from that is jealousy, envy, strife, hatred, high-mindedness, doing it your own way. God has one way. And you find that through prayer. You can be a David any day you choose to submit. Anyone could have killed that giant. Anyone in Israel could have killed that giant because it wasn't the person, it was the submission that killed him. That means you have the same power as David had. And God wants to make you a conqueror. Let us stand.
Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for your word. I thank you that we're seeing an end to this pandemic. Lord, might you shut it down completely, and we know by your power you can. And Lord, might we see the harvest. We've been planning for 14 months. We've been working with our videos and getting the message out and through Facebook and other ways in order to spread your word and your gospel. Lord, our people have had time to be alone and understand who you are and what a separated life unto you will do. Lord, I pray that you empower them today with the mindset and the heart set that they can totally surrender to you and never have to worry again because you got their back. And it'll all work out. For all things work together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to their purpose. That's your Bible. And that's where we stand. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.